Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Mond will run the option on second down. Mond keeps it. First down and more. Running away from Cowboy defenders. Kellen Mond is in the clear and in the end zone. 67 breathtaking yards.
And welcome back to the Cover 3 podcast here on CBS Sports. This is the Hurry Up Hot Seat Countdown, counting down the top 25 teams in the CBS Sports 2020 preseason rankings with the authors of those previews that you can find on CBSSports.com. We have reached the point in our countdown where we get to one of our annual dark horses. Every year, it's dark horsey all around Texas A&M. They check in at number 14 in our rankings. David Cobb, you are the man who is being called to the... There it is. You're the man who's been called to the stand to talk Texas A&M. Let's begin with Jimbo Fisher, because when Jimbo Fisher was hired, the price tag was enormous and it drew a lot of attention. And we've got Kyle Field renovation. So before we get into the specifics of the 2020 team, let's start big. Where is your confidence that by the end of Jimbo Fisher's first contract, Texas A&M fans will look back and say it was worth it?
Yeah. Well, I think the chances are good. I mean, one, you look, now that he's had two full recruiting cycles to really dig in, those classes rank fourth and sixth nationally. And I think there's a really good chance that this program wins 10 games this season. And the remarkable thing, digging back into Texas A&M over the last couple of days, they won 11 games in 2012 with Johnny Manziel. That is their only double-digit win total since 1998. That blew my mind. It blew me away because, I mean, for a lot of that time, they were still in the Big 12. And they still were not getting to that double-digit win total, even in a league that was less brutal than the SEC. So, I mean, I know the expectations are sky high, but I really believe, and I know that a lot of college football fans will roll their eyes because, as you mentioned, Chip, they are a perennial dark horse. But I really believe that they are on the cusp of really turning the corner this year and escaping from that island they've been living on in the middle of the SEC West.
Okay, so then tell me why. Because there's obviously the lack of schedule hurdles that it had last year. It's just a friendlier schedule. They return on paper, they return whatever it is, 19 starters. I don't know what the count is, but it's a lot. Can you tell me the specific reasons that you are excited or optimistic that this is actually the real dark horse team that everyone's been talking about them as the last decade to be?
Yeah, well, you hit on one of the major things, one of the major factors of why I believe that. It's that the schedule is much friendlier this season. You know, people look at Jimbo's first 2 years at Texas A&M and they see 9 wins in year one and 8 wins in year two. And they say, what the heck? Why is this guy the fourth highest paid coach in college football? Well, one thing that you have to consider is that going into last season, they were losing 7 NFL draft picks. And they played 3 teams that at the time of the game were number 1 in the country. And all 3 went on to participate in the college football playoff. So when you're dealing with a young team and you're playing a schedule that brutal, you know, it's just going to be tough. Now, this year, staying big picture before we even dive into Texas A&M's roster, and even the schedule for that matter, just look at the rest of the division. I mean, the 3 teams below them in the pecking order, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Arkansas, all breaking in first-year coaches, which, as we've discussed on these podcasts, is going to be especially difficult given the reduced practice time that we're likely looking at entering this season. And then the 3 teams above them, Auburn, Alabama, and LSU in the SEC West pecking order are all replacing a lot. Now, we know that Alabama can do that and not miss a beat. But LSU, I mean, even after a national title, you just can't overlook how much they're replacing. And so, I mean, Texas A&M's close to Auburn. They have been for a while. Auburn's kind of edged them out and been that third place team in the division more often than not. But the Tigers are replacing a lot too, the Auburn Tigers. So I just think when you look at it big picture, without even diving into a favorable schedule and all the returning starters and all that, the division sets up favorably for Texas A&M to finally make a move.
Yeah, but Kellen Mond though, right? Because he is not included in the conversations for best quarterback in the SEC going into the season. You know, you're looking at Kellen Mond, and he probably, in terms of the way that you would rank it up, the negatives of Kellen Mond weigh down what the ceiling has been. And in flashes and in bursts, he has looked like he could be one of the best quarterbacks in the SEC or the best quarterback in the SEC. Like, do you just sort of give experience points? Do you give, well, he's got to be taking a step forward, he's got to be limiting his mistakes? You know, how do you rate him and in terms of his responsibility and how much hinges on him to be able to capitalize on that potential?
Yeah, I think you spelled it out. I mean, there's just going to be a natural progression there. One, the offensive line returns four starters, three of whom are seniors, and the four between them have close to 100 career starts. And I think that'll be one of the better offensive lines in the SEC. So right then and there, you got a quarterback who's going to have plenty of time to throw, plenty of time to make decisions. And then I think last year, you guys got to remember, they lost Jayshon Corbin in the second game of the season and had a real dearth there at running back that obviously Isaiah Spiller stepped up and played well as a freshman. But I think Mond probably felt a lot of expectations and a lot of pressure on his shoulders. And then the defense was good, but not great. And they didn't get a lot of big plays from the defense. And so, you know, Mond probably felt like he had to be the superhero a little bit. But he's a senior. He's been productive. He's made some mistakes. But it's his third year now in this system with a veteran offensive line, a pretty solid group of playmakers around him. You know, I think that this could be a really solid senior season for him. I believe that.
All right. I asked you why this is a year A&M is actually has the breakthrough, and you rattled off a whole laundry list of reasons why the teams they're playing aren't going to be all that great. Chip just asked you about Kellen Mond. But isn't this a perfect example of how a team can disappoint us if all we're doing is just looking at their schedule and saying, well, this is the year, schedule works. Why should I be actually excited about A&M, their roster and their team?
Yeah, look, I mean, it's been 7 years in a row that they've finished with between 7 and 9 wins. I mean, that's just... I mean, I get it. I get the skepticism. I get the hesitation to buy in on this. And sure, you know, they could get surprised by a Mississippi State or a South Carolina and sort of stumble into a difficult back half of the schedule. But the reason why I think this team is going to be better is because I think that the defense is going to be better. Yes, they lose Justin Matabuki, who was a hoss in the middle, a third-round draft pick, a defensive tackle. But they bring something like 8 starters back on defense, and Mike Elko's gotten that unit better each year. And so the problem with the defense last year is that, you know, they were fine in terms of total defense. You know, most metrics had them somewhere in the 30s nationally in terms of defense, but they only recovered 4 fumbles all season, and then they were somewhere around 60th in the country in terms of interceptions and sacks. So while their total defense was fine, the defense didn't really make a lot of plays. And you can say, well, that's skewed because they, you know, just got throttled by Alabama and LSU. But I'm talking about some other games that they could have won where, you know, if the defense makes a play or two, gets a turnover, you know, it's a totally different ball game. And so I think that the defense with some of these prospects that Jimbo has brought in over the last couple of years kind of ready to step in, will be a more opportunistic defense, will be better equipped to make plays that actually impact the game rather than being this just sort of run-of-the-mill bend-but-don't-break operation.
I heard the magic words, Mike Elko. I think that means that I get slimed in my chair. that was the secret phrase that we always want to hear for Texas A&M and belief in the Aggies. All right, so you said 10 wins. Is that like a 9-3 with a bowl, or do you look at the schedule and do you see 10-2?
Man, I think they could sleepwalk to 9 wins.
I mean,
look, I've got 4 games for this preview penciled in as key games. Those games are South Carolina, Alabama, LSU, and Auburn. And so, I mean, that South Carolina game, they've beaten South Carolina 6 times in a row since the Gamecocks became their cross-division rival. Let me just go through it real quick. Abilene Christian, okay, win. North Texas, win. Colorado, win. Arkansas, win. Mississippi State, on the road, but a win. Fresno State, they've been okay under Jeff Tedford, but they were down last year. I think that's a win. Okay, there, that's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 6-0 heading to Auburn. You know, so let's say they lose to Auburn, 6-1. South Carolina, they're going to keep that winning streak alive. 7-1. Ole Miss at home, that's a win. 8-1. Vanderbilt win. 9-1. So they're 9-1 going to Alabama and then hosting LSU the last 2 weeks of the season. Yeah, I mean, who's to say that they won't, you know, spring an upset on one of those two teams? I mean, that's probably what it would come down to. I mean, they're going to have to upset or beat one of the group of Auburn, Alabama, and LSU, and they have not fared well against those three teams. I mean, there's just no hiding the fact that when they burst onto the SEC scene in 2012 and Johnny Manziel was dancing around defenses and they won the Heisman Trophy, you thought, oh my gosh, these guys are day one competitors in the toughest division in college football. That has not been the case. But because of everything that those top teams replace and because of everything Texas A&M brings back and sort of the incremental improvement, which I know is not – hot, but it's true with this Texas A&M team and everything they bring back. I think they're positioned to do it. I think they're positioned to beat one of those three teams, if not two of them, this season, and be a 10-win regular season team.
Barton, do you have any further questions?
I don't think so.
Yeah. I convinced him.
Yeah, I think. I mean, that's
sold.
Yeah, this is it. I mean, I am ready to be betting against a 9-1 Texas A&M team down the stretch. Looking forward to it. I've got my short position in the market.
Those last 2 weeks of this season could be really exciting because, I mean, they go to Alabama in the next to last week, and then they host LSU in the final week. And, of course, you know, the last week of the season is also the Iron Bowl. So there could be some serious SEC West title implications at stake, you know, over the last 2 weeks of the regular season.
He is David Cobb. You can read his story on Texas A&M on CBSSports.com. It is up right now. David, thank you very much.
Thanks, guys.
Survivor 46 is here, and so is On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast, and we have a twist this season. The winner of Survivor 45, Dee Valladares, will be joining us every week.
We're going behind the scenes of the biggest moments, the how and the why things happen, and the strategy and analysis you can only get from someone like me, a Survivor winner.
Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast, wherever you get your podcasts.